sang a hymn a few moments ago about who is he? Stanza after stanza began with those words, who is he? And then that glorious chorus. None other than the Lord of Glory, the answer to every one of those stanzas. The Lord of Glory. Oh, beloved young people, isn't it a grand and a wonderful thing to know that Jesus, whom this world rejected, Jesus in whose face they spit in rejection and mockery, is by the grace of God your Savior and your Lord. For if you can't say that, you're not really a child of God at all. Romans 10, verse 9. You hardly need to turn to that, do you? You know it so well. Romans 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Most of us learned this verse when we were very little, and perhaps it was just another verse committed to memory in those days. But I thank God with all my heart that I can stand here tonight and say that the one whose name is brought before us in this verse is by God's matchless grace, my Savior and my Lord. For notice, please, what it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And that's what it means. To recognize the authority of the one who went to Calvary's cross in love to me, in love to you. And there upon the cross he bore our guilt. There upon the cross he bowed his head. There upon the cross his blood flowed from that wounded side. And you and I who have received him now know him as the one by whose precious blood our guilt is forever gone. We're thrilled as we read the story of the malefactor who was crucified beside him, turned and said to him, Lord, remember me. Where did he get that word, Lord? I'm sure he didn't hear it from any of the others who were around the cross. He couldn't read it in the superscription that was nailed above the cross. What were those words? This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Where did he get that word, Lord? Ah, deep down in his heart, he knew, though there was no visible evidence of it, he knew that the one who was being crucified was the one who was worthy of that title, Lord. Oh, I look up and down these rows. And after having heard that solemn gospel that you heard tonight and last night, I want to ask you, please permit me to ask you as personally as ever I can, have your lips ever voluntarily confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'll put it in other, plainer words. Can you remember ever in your life having turned to anyone and said, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior? The only confession I've ever heard from some is a very hesitant yes, or perhaps even a nod of the head when you ask them, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Just a very embarrassed yes, please don't talk to me any longer. Now, I don't consider that a confession, and I want to ask you because I love you. I want to ask you to search carefully. Have you ever, in all your life, turned to anyone and said, maybe not these words, but the substance of it, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? Are they hard words to utter? Why should they be? Why should it be difficult for you or me to say to anyone, the Lord Jesus Christ loved me, died for me, he is my Savior? Now, I remember some time ago, back in Ohio, asking this question, and there were a lot of young people there. And I was surprised and thrilled to have a number of them come to me after the meeting. And every one of them was gathered to the Lord's name. And they said to me, "Brother, I can't remember ever in my life saying to anyone, I have accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and I just want to say it to you tonight." And I was just overjoyed to hear these words. "I'm not asking you to come up and say this to me, but will you just please search your heart and search your memory? This is a real matter, beloved friend. Have you ever, I say again, have you ever in all your life confessed the Lord Jesus Christ?" I imagine you may have heard me mention this, but I was at a meeting one time where there was a dear, lonely old lady sitting in the front row. She was the only one on the front row. And there was quite a crowd there that night. And her wayward son was sitting on the back row. No reflections on those who were away back there, I know. Please. But he was a grown and married man and had not been at meeting for years. And his dear praying mother didn't know that he'd walked in and taken his seat at the back. And when the meeting was over, he turned to the brother who was sitting beside him and said, "I'm saved. I'm saved, and I'm going to go up to the front and tell my mother." And this brother made a very wise response. He said, "Henry, if it's true, you can tell her something better than that." "Better than that? Better than going and telling her I'm saved?" "Yes. Henry, if it's true, go and tell your mother, 'Mother, I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior.'" You see the difference, do you not? You see in that a confession of the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Henry came up, and I saw it. Oh, I saw the gladness on the face of that dear old mother as he sat beside her and she looked and saw who it was. "My wayward son at the meeting." Oh, what joy it was to her. But he turned and said, "Mother, tonight I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." Oh, I wish you could have seen the look on her dear old face. Talk about the joy in the presence of the angels of God. There it was reflected. Dear young people, what a Savior we have. He loved us. He died for us. And oh, but He is worthy that we should confess Him with our lips as Lord. But will you turn over, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren," and this includes sisters, of course, "finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Oh, beloved young people, you know the context of this verse. You know that in this epistle to the Ephesians, we have had unfolded to us a revelation of truth that has taken us into the very heavenlies and caused us to know that that's our home, that's our citizenship, that's our heritage. But we're reminded that we have an enemy that doesn't want us to be in the enjoyment of all this, that would rob us, if it were possible, of the enjoyment of this most wonderful possession. And so in the closing chapter, we are told of the wiles of that enemy. We are told of the whole armor of God. But oh, what a wonderful introduction to this resource. Verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Are you any match for the power of the enemy? No, you're not. And neither am I. Beloved young people, I think you have already discovered this. Am I right? That you're no match, and I'm no match for the powers that are arrayed against us. They're mighty powers, and they're trying to rob you of the joy of the Lord in your life. They're trying to rob you of a testimony that would be to the glory of God and to your happiness. I'm no match for this, but I know the source of power. I know the one in whom there is all strength, all power. And if you and I, in our weakness and our trembling, come into the presence of the one who bears that glorious title, Lord, we'll find there a resource, a power, a strength that is able to stand us in good stead in the struggles that we meet with from day to day, because we don't outlive those struggles. We don't outgrow those struggles. There is always, and there always will be, as long as we're here, the mighty and continual power of Satan arrayed against us. He doesn't look at any one of you young people and say, well, I'll give up on him. No, he'll try that much harder. But you know as well as I do that there are those who, by the matchless grace of God, conscious of their own weakness, have continually turned to the Lord for strength, have taken that precious name upon their lips and confessed him publicly before men, and have gone in the power and strength and might of the Lord. And you meet with them as the years have rolled by. And what do you find? You find, as you heard this afternoon, that not one of them ever looks back and says, you know, I think I missed a lot in life. I never tried this. I never went there. I never did that. I guess I've missed a lot. I don't know what you'd say to me if I told you what I didn't get into when I was a young fellow. I had the firm and faithful hand of a father whom you didn't know on my shoulder when I was a young fellow. And I wasn't allowed to go here. I wasn't allowed to go there. I wasn't allowed to do this. And we were mocked and ridiculed at school. Is it true that you're not allowed to read the funny papers and things like this at school? And, you know, the word got around of what a strict, austere father we had, and that we were just deprived of everything that would bring us any fun or pleasure. I look back and I say, thank God with all my heart that I had a father and mother who knew not only what the joy of the Lord could bring, but they knew something of the perils and the dangers that were around. And they tried to preserve our home from the inroads of those things that would turn our hearts away from the only true source of happiness. I squirmed, I resented, I didn't like it, I wished I had somebody else's father. I'm going to tell you very plainly, this is not being recorded, I hope. Because I'm going to tell you a true occurrence, and I wouldn't want it to get back to where it happened. Do I hear a click? Well, when I went to school, there was another fellow in my classroom. He was allowed to go wherever he chose to go. He was allowed to join anything he wanted to join. He was allowed just about every form of pleasure that the rest in the high school engaged in. And his father was also gathered to the Lord's name. And did I envy him? He didn't have to put up with what I had to put up with. He could be popular at school while I was ridiculed. I'll tell you something. He comes to meeting and sits with a vacant chair beside him. As you might expect, he went out and made his friends among those who had no heart for the Lord Jesus, married someone who, as far as I know, is not even the Lord's, and she's never set foot inside the meeting room. And I sit down in meeting and look at the blessing of the Lord upon me and look across to see the young fellow I envied, not a young fellow anymore, but a vacant seat beside him. And I say to myself, thank God. Dear young believer, oh, if you come from a home where there are these restrictions, don't squirm, don't resent it. Thank God for it. Turn to this precious book, to the Savior, of which this precious book speaks, and I tell you, you'll find your joy, your happiness, your delight, and it will never fade away. I look back to the years of my youth and of my manhood, and I thank God this night with an overflowing heart that I was saved when I was just a boy, just before I entered into high school. And I thank God with all my heart that something of the wonder and the challenge of this verse was brought before me continually. I was reminded, and I scarcely needed to be reminded, that in myself I had no strength, that the powers of evil and the temptations were far too great for me or anyone else, that I had to turn to the Lord and lean to the Lord and cry to the Lord for strength to preserve and keep. Dear young believer, He can keep you. I'm going to suggest to you that this very wonderful book is a good thing to have with us. And the open and oft-repeated confessions of the Lord Jesus Christ. They won't invite you where you know you shouldn't be if it's known that you love this book. I remember after I was through school and worked for the International Paper Corporation, again I was only a teenager, 17, and they had a big annual party just about this time of year. And I can see them yet. They'd come down the desks with a little list, you know, and writing down the names of those who were going to attend the party. And they'd come to this desk, this one, and they'd walk right past mine and go on to the next one. Never even asked me. I don't know what they would have done if I had said, yes, I think I'll come this year. You know, do you think that made me feel miserable? No, you know very well I didn't want to go anyway, but it just made me feel thankful that I could sit there and feel I'm left out of this because they know I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Could we turn, please, to yet another scripture in Colossians? Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Ha, beloved, here again is the challenge of the person and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in connection with our daily walk and testimony here. Conscious of the glory of the Lord, you and I are privileged to walk in such a way as would bear witness to those around us that we want to please Him. Oh, but it's a delight to live to please someone whom you know loves you. It's hard to work for a boss that doesn't understand you, that has no more interest in you than as much as he can get out of you. But it's very pleasant to work for someone who loves you, cares for you, and has your interests at heart. And so I believe we find in this 10th verse, worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Our time is slipping by. I'm just going to leave you with another verse in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Or you say that's all very well for you to open your Bible and read it from Philippians 4. You're in good health. You're among your friends. I know I am. But who wrote this verse and where was he when he wrote it? Have you ever tried to picture it? Let's go to this prison in Rome. Let's ask the jailer if he has a prisoner there named Paul. Yes, we have a prisoner. Would you like to see him? So you and I go down the corridor. And I can't picture a Roman prison. I've been in and out of many prisons, and some of them are pretty grim places. But I'm sure I've never been in anything like the prison that Rome, the prison that Paul was in. So we come to the door, and the jailer says, this is where that man is whom you were asking about. And the prison door is open, and we look in there, and there's an old man named Paul, the one you heard about today, who in the days of his youth had decided to accept the Lord Jesus as his Savior and to live to please him. Now he's an old man in a prison cell, and he's bent over writing on paper. And you step over to see what he's writing. And he's writing, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Is it really possible in circumstances like that? Indeed it is. Paul was led out of that Roman prison and beheaded. And we're going to meet him someday. And are we going to find that he looks back upon those years of suffering and affliction You read of what he endured for the Lord's sake. Here is an old man in a prison cell. He writes out to the rest of us, "Rejoice in the Lord." Oh, beloved young people, you take, and may I take it to heart, that name of Jesus Christ the Lord, the name of him who brought salvation to us at Calvary, the name of the one who lives because he loves us, ever making intercession for us up there in the glory. The one with power, the one with authority, the one who can bring joy into your heart. Dear young people, I know very well that you look upon me with my gray hairs and you say, "But you don't understand, you're not part of our generation." I know I'm not. But we did bring up children to face something of the same things that you're facing. And we did find that the only resource that we had in the problems and the burdens and the tears was this wonderful book and that wonderful person. And that's all we need. If you take this precious book and read it from Genesis to Revelation, and when you get to Revelation, start over again, and turn continually to that precious Savior who loved you enough to die for you. Take his name with you wherever you go. And if you can't take his name with you where you're planning to go, you shouldn't be there. If you can't take this book with you where you're planning to go, you shouldn't be there. It's kind of a good guide, isn't it? Ask yourself, now you probably have plans ahead. Would my Bible be out of place? Sometimes that's been a help to me. I remember one time they were founding a branch of one of these, I don't know what you call them, clubs like Rotary Club, Kiwanis Club, and so on. They were founding one in the place where I lived. And one of the founders came to me and said, "We're founding this club, I forget which one it was, Rotary or whatever, and these are our particular interests. And we don't have an optometrist in our membership, and we'd like very much for you to be one of the founding members for this particular area." Well, I didn't quite know what to say, so I asked him what their particular activities were, and he listed them off, and I said, "And what day in the week do you have your regular meetings?" "Wednesday." And I said, "Well, that's fine, I'm free on Wednesdays." I said, "Could I bring my Bible?" "Pardon?" I said, "Could I bring my Bible?" He said, "Well, why would you want to do that?" Well, I said, I attend a lot of meetings, but I always carry a Bible with me when I go to a meeting." "You mean you're inviting me to a meeting and I can't bring my Bible?" "Well," he said, "you know, Ben Smolkin is a member and he's Jewish and he might not want to see your Bible." And I said, "Well, you remember this, that I like attending meetings if I can bring my Bible." "Well, I'll tell you, I'll come back and let you know." He said, "Well, he hasn't come back yet, and that was 25 years ago." Dear young people, carry a Bible with you. Take a Bible with you. I hope you don't mind my saying this, but I've got a Bible on the dashboard of the car where it can be plainly seen. It kind of helps, don't you think so? To have a Bible in your hand, you'd feel right away, I shouldn't go in there, and it would control a good many aspects of your life and mine if we just remembered that we are taking with us the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious word. Shall we just look to the Lord in prayer?